To the Lord now and prepare our hearts to receive the seed of his word. Hallelujah. Father, you have brought us into your presence. And Father, may we receive of your word in blessing, our minds and hearts open and prepared to word, for we ask this now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. And tonight we're going to call our teaching Much of Our Overcoming is mind. Much of our coming is with the mind. And I want to speak on this as to what God is doing in the way of deliverance, how he's renewing our minds, changing our minds, and that is where deliverance starts. And turn with me if I for 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 3 through to 6. And here it's under the context of our spiritual warfare. And he says here in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, let's just stop there, because there's quite a lot that the Apostle Paul says here with regard to our spiritual warfare that we're in. For he says here in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, unlike the world does. That's why they go to war, because they think that in the flesh they can defeat the enemy. But history shows us that you can't. The Bible shows us that for the Christian, the enemy is defeated through spiritual warfare. Now, we might raise that question, well, why is it then over the centuries that the church has not broken through more than it should have? Well, I think we get an indication of what the problem is. And the apostle touches on this, because if we carry on in verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but for pulling down strongholds?
Well, a lot of believers would say, yes, that's true. That's a positive confession. That is real.
But then the problem lies in verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And there is the problem. There is our problem. And this is why the Christian church has at times failed and been inactive spiritually, to be able to really get into real spiritual warfare. Because it's our minds that hinder us. The devil is smart. He knows what these scriptures say, and he trembles. I believe the devil trembles tonight with this teaching. And I know this for a fact, because the enemy has really tried to get on my back today. I didn't know tonight whether I was actually going to be preaching this, because I showed all signs and symptoms of going down with a terrible migraine, sickness, the lot. But I thought, yes, I know what the enemy's up to, and praise God, you know, you just carry on. And where does he start to attack in this? Minds. And you start to cast it down. You start to praise God. You start to set your mind upon the kingdom, upon Jesus, and not dwelling on it. So often we open the doors to these symptoms, these problems. And so praise God, he's faithful. But this is where we either fall or we stand. Because we know that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We know they're mighty in God. We know they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And many Christians think, well, what is the problem? Why doesn't it happen? Why isn't it happening in my life? Why isn't it happening at our church and so forth? And this is the problem. Because it's casting down imaginations or arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, it means it's not always that we're having an argument with God over the word. It doesn't necessarily mean that. We might have at times when we were getting delivered from wrong teaching that we had in earlier days. But what it means is where our minds are being infiltrated with things from the enemy that is trying to oppose the word. And so the argument, the battle, is against the powers of darkness working in your mind, my mind, to the knowledge and revelation that we have in the Word of God. We believe the Word of God, but the argument comes from Satan, who tries to test that Word, who tries to oppose that Word, who tries to get into your mind and twist the Word, as God said. That is what it means by the argument or the conversation of every high thing. These are principalities, these are dominions, these are powers that try to battle on our mind against what we're going through, what we're believing for, and the prophecies and so forth. Exhorting itself against what? The knowledge of God. That's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to exalt himself above God by using the word and the knowledge that we have. Did he not do exactly the same with Adam and Eve when they fell? Hath God said? He was raising a question. What he actually was doing was raising an argument, a conversation. He was trying to get man to doubt God's word. You see? And that's the idea of what he's saying here. And so he says, against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So sometimes it's just obeying God, what he says, and just say, Satan, you're a liar. And sometimes that's enough.
That's all that's needed. You don't have to enter into argument, into dialogue with the enemy. Enough. I am believing God's word. My mind is covered by the blood of Jesus. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, and so on. That's sometimes all you need to do. Pulling down those strongholds. Those strongholds try to stop salvation. Those strongholds try to stop your confession. Those strongholds try to stop your joy, your peace, your walk with God. Those strongholds try to hinder you from receiving the revelation of God's word, and so it goes on. Those strongholds are even tonight trying to stop the seed of God's word being planted into your heart. There's the battle. And it's right in the mind. That's what he's showing. He goes on in verse 5, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what is actually the attacks of the enemy is so that we disobey God. Because faith is really obedience. And that's why we find at times, Lord, you know, why is it I find it so hard to obey you? Why is it I know I should do this and yet I'm not doing it? Even the Apostle Paul battled with that one, which you see in Romans 7 and Romans 8. Why? Because the deliverance is taking place in our minds. Those high powers, those things that Satan uses, is all the while trying to work disobedience in us. Battling against the will of God. There comes the arguments, the disputes, and so on. That is why we're always saying that this walk is not a doing, it's a being. It's not trying, it's just yielding to the Spirit. And as he's working in our hearts, as he's honing in areas, instead of resisting him, just yield over and let him work it, which he'll do. And what is he fundamentally working? He's working that obedience that we've seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And so we see quite clearly that the mind is the battleground of much of our overcoming. You see, the mind is the planting ground of good or bad seed. And the enemy knows that. And wish to God that more Christians were open to this, guarding their minds. That they could be alert and see this. Because the enemy knows. The enemy knows clearly what the Holy Spirit does in planting seed into our minds so that our hearts change. So we need to be very awake and alert for this. Well, we firstly need to see then the state of man's mind. That is why we need to be born again. We have to be new creations in Christ Jesus. We have to have a new mind. A mind that can be worked on. Otherwise, it's never going to work, you see. Let's turn to Romans 7 and verse 25. Romans chapter 7 and verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. And that's what happens. If you open your mind to the devil, then your mind will serve the law, bondage. And that's what the apostle says. And therefore, if it does that, then the flesh is going to be gratified by it. And that's, of course, what the devil tries to do. He tries to keep us in the flesh and not in the spirit. And so he'll battle with our minds, trying to keep us in bondage, keep us in religion under the law, so that it is in the flesh you're trying to worship God. And we can never worship God in the flesh. We can only worship God in spirit and in truth, in the spirit. That is why we preach the deeper life in the Spirit. But the apostle never stopped there. He went on into chapter 8 where he says, well, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so as we walk according to the Spirit, it then means that God starts to set in motion this deliverance in the mind. And that's why you have these battles like you do. And these are demons trying to get a hold or trying to get back in where you have been delivered. You see? And this is our spiritual warfare that we're on. This is why I'm calling this teaching that much our overcoming is with the mind. You see, the God of this world has blinded the eyes and mind of most of the world. And that's why they can't see. Unless God touches our lives, which he does. But so, you have a different mind. You have the mind of Christ. And therefore your mind is now being worked on and delivered. Well, firstly looking then under this. Firstly, the mind has to feed of the word of God for deliverance. And of course, that is why we need to be born again, because God's sheep will hear his voice and they will follow him. And the reason that they follow him is because it's fundamentally that deliverance, that staying with God, God working on the mind. And this is why when we were born again, this is why when we came to the deeper life teaching, one of the first things we began to learn pretty quickly about this deeper life teaching, about our minds and about spiritual warfare and how the enemy is trying to get into the mind. God has given and will continue to give an awful lot about this, because this is a lot of our overcoming. But let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy... Second Timothy, get there. Chapter 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Now, that tells us that one of the main demonic powers that Satan works on with the Christian is fear. Fear will open the mind to a lot of oppression. And this is why God has to deliver us from fear. Fear is tormenting. Fear will blow things out of proportion. Fear can cause one to fabricate, to lie, to hide, all sorts of things. We know that when Adam and Eve fell, what was the first thing that entered into them, their mind? Fear. They hid from God. Satan wants you to hide from God, and he uses the strongest demonic powers in which to try to get you to retract and run away from God, and he uses fear in which to do it. See, Satan's tactics don't change right from the Garden of Eden. He still tries to work it today. This is why I'm always saying that if you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, resist that feeling to run away and hide. Run straight away to the presence of God. Confess it and get it under the blood of Jesus. Because if you leave it, that fear starts to enter. Because that is exactly what Satan wants to try and do with your mind. So the mind has to feed on the word of God for our deliverance. And we've called receive all of this by faith, the same as we're receiving tonight this word by faith. In other words, we're receiving it, we're saying, yes Lord, I believe your word. I believe that when the enemy tries again to attack me or to attack my mind, instead of running away, I will run to you. That is my confession and that is my belief. And if you believe that, then in your next trial, you're going to precisely do that. And so the enemy cannot get a hold on your mind, because he will start to work fear, and then that fear begins to pervert God, his love, and the next thing you know is you're battling, you're angry with God, or you're discontented with God, or you're confused, all those sorts of things. He begins to work, fear will begin to doubt the word of God and the promises of God. This is exactly what the devil wants to do. And we've all of us have gone through that. And we're only here tonight by God's grace and mercy. He could have given up on us. But he's not, because he's working that deliverance over our minds. Because our minds are our battlefield. Most of your trials, your battles, are not so much circumstances. It's in the mind. It's our attitudes. It's our thoughts towards our trials. It's our battling towards our brother, our neighbour, or our job, or the boss at work, or our marriage, or whatever it would be. That is where most of our warfare is. It's right in our minds. And the enemy likes to amplify it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, which says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And there we are. And God wants you to know that. That is not just something theological that we have just read. That is to be an experience. That is to be your praising and worshipping God, that when you get up in the morning, "I have the mind of Christ for this day. Even though the enemy is going to try and attack there, I have his mind." It's our confession. It's right there. The apostle says that's what we have to every true born-again believer. Because he says, who knows the mind of the Lord? Nobody knows the mind of the Lord unless he gives us his mind. How will we know God's mind? How will we know what he's going to do? What he's going to say next? Where he's going to lead us and guide us? We need the mind of Christ ministered to us through the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. You say, well, how do I know I have the mind of Christ? How do I know what God's mind is? Well, we know right now, tonight, as we're listening to God's word, this is God's mind to us. This is what he thinks. This is what he's saying. This is what he wants us to know. He wants to teach and tell us tonight that our minds are a battleground. That our minds have to be worked on, delivered. And that is why he's working his mind, the mind of Christ, into our minds. Hallelujah. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But that's the first area of much of our overcoming, is with the mind. The second thing that I want to look at is that the mind has to be preserved and kept by the Holy Spirit. So God has to place a preservation over us if ever he's going to do that perfecting work. If ever he's going to deliver us and bring forth the sons of God, the man-child, he's got to preserve us for this work to be done. And so let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7, which says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? So it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. What does it do? It guards your hearts and your minds. The very presence of God, his peace with you and in you, is your guard. It's no good you trying to raise up a guard. It's no good you trying powers and principalities. It says quite clearly here that the peace of God, God in your life, which surpasses all understanding, is your guard. And he says he's going to guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And can I suggest to you that that is what we need to be able to rebuke the devil, to tell the devil to go, because he's our guard, he's our fortress, he's the one in our lives that holds up the sword against the powers of darkness. But so many believers think that they have to do it, and they try to do it in the flesh, and you never will. It says you call upon the Lord as you desire his presence in your life every day, as you enter into his peace and that rest by faith. That is your guard. Otherwise you will never defeat the enemy. And you know you don't. Have you ever tried rebuking the devil? You know full well that you failed even before you said anything. You know it's not going to work. Satan knows it's not going to work, and the Lord certainly knows. And you fall short. No, it's as he is in us, raising that standard against the powers of darkness. And he will do it. He's promised he's going to do it. As he's showing us tonight, as we receive and take it by faith. But in order for him to do that, he's working that deliverance in our minds, the same as he's working deliverance right now through this word. And thirdly, looking at this, the mind has to be worked on, and here is the battle. So every time the Lord begins to work on the mind, and maybe after this teaching tonight, there's going to be a season for most of us where we're now going to have our minds worked on a bit more. And so the enemy's going to battle. He's going to have a go, because he doesn't like this. It means that he's losing hold. Do you know what is going to rapture the church, the overcomers? Do you know how the bride makes herself ready? She's actually making herself ready through deliverance in her mind. That's much of how she makes herself ready. Hallelujah. Little wonder the devil tries to hold us in our minds. Because it's as our minds are delivered, filled with God's Spirit, his word, that is casting down Satan and the powers of darkness. Because the last final battle for the Christian church is that she will rise up in the power of God and cast down the powers of darkness and Satan. So that she goes back to the place where she should be, and that is in the clouds, where the Lord is. But sadly at the moment, the enemy is there, and he should not be there. He's usurped his authority, but he will be cast down. And this is all coming through our deliverance, as we stay with this, and we allow the word of God to deliver us in our minds. So the mind has to be worked on, and here is where the battle is. Let's turn to Romans 8 and verse 7. Romans 8 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul has much to say about this. And as we know, Romans 8 is all about the sons of God being manifested. The sons of God being prepared to release groaning creation. This is why you're being worked on as overcomers. Because God is setting in through the church, and you are the church. You are set into the church. This is why he's setting this deliverance. Because as we come through, God will deliver groaning creation. He's not going to be delivered in any other way than our making it through, overcoming. So listen what he says here. In Romans 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But, I love sometimes those word buts that go in there, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit,
If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. And all the while the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, he's going to work and work and work and work with us to get us to walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For that is where we worship God, in spirit and in truth. And that is why God will not give up. And this is why at times it seems this walk can be nothing but one hurdle after the other, after the other, after the other. I no sooner get over one trial and there is another facing me. Why? Because the Spirit is not giving up on you, because he's going to keep you walking in the Spirit, because that is our deliverance. Amen. And thank God for it. Hallelujah. He's working this in us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. That's why he's getting the whole armour of God, as we know in Ephesians 6, and part of the whole armour of God is the helmet of salvation. That's what he's working, because when the helmet of salvation is secure, it's there, the enemy cannot touch you in your mind. And God will do that. And we're coming to it. And many times our overcoming is when we come to the end of ourselves, we're absolutely desperate. I'm sick of it. I've had enough. Praise God. And that's what he does. But we have to desire it. We have to wait on God. And that's what we do. Our whole walk is a waiting. Waiting as he's working that deliverance, changing our minds, so that we have the mind of Christ. And that we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because as we walk after the Spirit, that is what releases groaning creation. Walking after the Spirit will manifest the man-child that is called away. Because that's the next great event for us, brothers and sisters. And I do not believe we're very far away from this. Hold on, because God makes no mistake. He's got it under complete control. That's why I keep saying our prayers are enduring, our faith and everything is keeping the Antichrist and the powers of darkness at bay. But once the church, the overcomers, are taken away, then the devil comes on the earth in great wrath and he enters into the Antichrist. So we at the moment are keeping him from coming. That is why there's hope. That is why we can believe for household salvation. We can hold on to the promises of God. Because once the church, the bride, taken out, nobody wants to be around then in that day. Because then there will be the tribulation followed by the great tribulation. Hallelujah. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22, chapter 22, and verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Well, for that to be achieved, God has got to work deliverance. And he's got to work on our minds. That we love the Lord our God with all our mind, our thinking, our attitudes. That's what it means. That can never be achieved in the natural. Man can never, don't even try and attempt that, unless the Holy Spirit is doing that work and deliverance. And that's why he has to do a deliverance in our mind. So the enemy has less and less access to the mind. Because that is where he attacks. That is the battleground for the Christian and their walk. And we take this by faith. Let's finally look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And let's look at verses 3 to 4. Of Isaiah 26, verses 3 to 4. "Trust in the Lord forever, For in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength, for he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low, he lays it low to the ground, he brings it down to dust, and so on. There is our deliverance. He's bringing it down into dust. So man's mind is under deliverance. And what is he delivering us from? Well, he's delivering us from rejection, fear, pride, wrong doctrine, rebellion, anxieties, you name it. These are just some of the things that our minds have been open to, that he's closing these doors. And we see this in Luke chapter 12. And we look at this at verses 28 to 31 of Luke 12, 28 to 31. And he says here, if then God so clothe the grass which today is, and in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And so it goes on. There is our deliverance. Jesus spoke that. Now, if he spoke that, then he's going to provide for that. He's going to work that so that we can fulfill that for his glory, that we can move into that and experience that. So many just read it and know it theologically, but it's to be experienced, brothers and sisters. That is the point. So what is God looking for in these last days then? Well, let's, as we bring this now to a conclusion, let's turn to the book of Revelation. Through this deliverance that he's working on our minds, what is he going to be looking for? In Revelation 2 and verse 23, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23, he says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Now, where is this deliverance taking place? Well, it's taking place, and he uses this in the context of the church at Thyatira. This is the church that he's addressing. And we all know what this is, because it's the church where he says to be patient, that you're works and the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, he says, I have a few things against you, because you have allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, and to commit sexual immorality, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. May I suggest that this is why there is such a deliverance taking place? Because most of us, if we have come out of denominationalism, we have come out of the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel is absolutely rife in denominationalism. It seduces, it compromises, and this is why we have the problems that we have today. It weakens, and it will always try and attack leadership,
Because God sets a divine order in the church. Christ, the husband, and under the husband, the woman. And he sets within the church the gifts, where he sets the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, which are all offices held by men. And he also uses the sisters with gifts as well. So nobody's trying to outdo anyone. It all flows as the Spirit leads and guides without striving, because God never makes a mistake. Now we know that all of that has been changed and perverted in so much of religion, in denominationalism or Babylon as we call it. And that is what the enemy has been doing. And it's interesting that it not only speaks of churches of Babylon and Rome and denominationalism, but of course nations can be affected by this as well. And it says that he gave time for repentance. That is why the Spirit is saying, wherefore come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You're never going to get delivered otherwise. And this is why we're having such deliverance on our minds, because much of what we have been affected by has come by that demon Jezebel. That's a lot of our deliverance. And it's right here, what he says here. He says, indeed, I will cast her into sickbed. This is why there's so much sickness to be found in the house of God, which shouldn't be. He's having to allow this. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. So he says that they're committing adultery. They're taking of her deception, her allurements. Now, it doesn't mean that this is all sisters rising up doing this. Jezebel works just as well, if not worse sometimes, through men. And how do we know that it's doing it? Because they try to lord it over the flock. The nature of Jezebel is eventually to control. And she does it through seducing. And so we see shepherdship movement where Christians are controlled in subtle forms and ways. It will stop you from experiencing the headship of Christ, because that is ultimately what Jezebel tries to do, to attack the headship of Christ, to stop believers from experiencing him. She will try to replace a false prophet, a false teacher, that you submit to instead, that becomes your headship. And so when you submit to that, you no longer have the power of the blood of Jesus dealing with your sin. Oh, the enemy knows how to do it. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, here it is, the minds, the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. So as we take this seriously, brothers and sisters, God says he's going to reward us, because we have seen our need of deliverance in the mind, to be free from all of this, what Jezebel has tried to do. And he says that the churches will know, will see, that you have been delivered from this spirit of Jezebel. They will fall down and worship not only Christ, but also the overcomers, the bride that's made herself ready. They will see that she delivered herself, she got free from that seductive power of Jezebel that is rife today in churches, in politics, particularly in the West. You see, we know the story of what eventually happened to Jezebel. She was judged, and God finally judged her, and the dogs ate of her body. the dog's head of her body, which shows the nature of it. Now, it's very interesting that God hates this spirit, this demon. God really hates it because it destroys family life. It weakens the male, his headship. It weakens ministry. It brings in heresies. I'm convinced that the Toronto blessing, which was no blessing, was the result of Jezebel's spirit that brought that in. It would never have come in to a true body of Christ. And yet, many thousands and thousands of Christians lined up to be whacked in the spirit by this demon. Oh, God have mercy. Well, praise God, you have heard differently. And you have heard tonight that deliverance is in our minds, because God is setting us free. For whom the Son sets free, you shall be free indeed. And finally, let's finish with Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jezebel likes to dress up. Jezebel likes to be voluptuous, sensuous. She likes to let you know she's around. She's there. She likes to make a nice entry. The complete opposite to Christ came, and I've just read it to you there, that he emptied himself of no reputation. He took on a servant, a bondservant, came in lowliness. He didn't try to advertise himself in any way or form. And yet you've got ministries today, ministers that are exalted, are lifted up, put on pedestals. Most of them look like film stars, private jets and Cadillacs and Rolls Royces, you name it, begging all the time for finances. That's the spirit of Jezebel at work. Seducing. Seducing people into giving falsely. Christ came completely the opposite, and that's how you're to be, and that's how we walk, and that's what he's delivering and setting us free, that we can serve, that we walk in humility, in meekness, in purity and holiness. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Well, that is what I believe God laid on my heart tonight. Much of our overcoming is with the mind. Thank you.
Fulfillment in the arms of the sea.